What is it about down here that you like so much?
Weather.
That's for anything. First thing first.
You talking about Big Bucci Grape? They know what weed is.
I'm not going to expose them, but
they've already been exposed.
Has anybody been caught by their parents?
Caught f***ing or caught masturbating?
I'm talking about weed, bro.
Oh.
My job decided to charge me $100 a month for not being vaccinated.
Watch everything go.
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I definitely.
Like, you black.
What? What's that got to do with me? Facts, yeah. You're racist.
I didn't 100% recognize it when after I graduated, I was like, you know, this Chicago is the shit. After a year, I'm like, ugh, Chicago is some shit.
Welcome to the motherfucking podcast, y'all. Y'all already know what the fuck it is. It's your boy, Jew, aka the Granny Slayer, the Penny Player. And the Princess Taker, and I also got my main man.
It is your boy Nate on the mic, and welcome back to the podcast, ladies and gentlemen. We promised a part two, and we are here with the main man. I know y'all liked the last interview too. I've got a lot of comments saying it was super entertaining, but we have Xavier back at it.
Hey, what up, fam?
What's good, man?
How you doing? How
y'all? I am super excited to be back here. I'm not gonna lie, I've been looking forward to this for the past 2 weeks.
It's been 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's been. Goodness. I think it's been exactly 2 weeks. What's today? The 29th.
I think. Yeah, your boy was a little sick. I'm glad you.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm glad you recovered. Shout out to COVID.
They're dropping more variants than mixtapes, bro. Like, god damn, yes, this is another variant out.
Delta, Beta, Omega.
Yes. At this point, it's the Obama runs pack. Like, god damn.
About to have some Alpha Phi Alpha.
Oh, but, you know, let's get further on into the interview. So, Mr. Xavier.
How you doing
today, man? How's life?
Life is, I say, a good 80% right now.
A good 80%? Yeah, Let's talk about that. Yeah, B minus.
I feel
still failing in a Chinese household.
You said, you're a disgrace. you bring dishonor to our family.
I don't know where that came from.
Hey, bro, look, nah, for real. In grade school, I was definitely okay with a C.
Oh yeah, same. Right. Dude, I passed with a D, okay? Like, I kid you not. What? Yes!
Said D plus.
Fuck out of here. Like, I'm definitely doing that.
So
like,
my parents put me in IB. I don't know if you all know what that is, but it's International Baccalaureate. Basically, it's AP on steroids.
Mm.
And like, my parents were also teachers. So I got no life in high school. So I was definitely okay with C average.
So you was doing sports and you was in like basically AP classes too.
Yeah.
Wow. There's a few questions that looking back at our last interview, I've been wanting to ask. I do want to start off with the move from Chicago to Florida. What inspired that move, and what was the culture change like when you made that move?
Okay, so the culture change was definitely drastic. However, I was somewhat used to it because my mother has been in Atlanta pretty much my entire life.
Mm-hmm.
So I lived in Chicago for a good 8 years. I'm proud of the 8 years that I spent there. However, I definitely overstayed my welcome a good 2 years after
Why
I graduated.
You say that? Why you say you overstayed your welcome?
Just a lot of, I wish I had moved here earlier, let's just say. Mm.
Yeah, okay.
I wish I had moved to Atlanta I can dig earlier, that. You know. Just got after I graduated, I kind of stuck around Chicago, tried to see if Chicago was going to be my place to mm-hmm. live as an adult. And I didn't 100% recognize it when after I graduated, I was like, you know, this Chicago is the shit. After a year, I'm like, ugh, Chicago is some shit. I was just like, yeah.
So what is it about down here that you like so much?
Weather. That's first thing first. I would love to say the weather is
shit. Nigga, what? Are you what? That's the first thing you love about this bitch?
Yeah.
Are you fucking saying, bro, this weather is more bipolar than my last bitch? What are you talking about?
You wanna know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
How about snow on 420?
All right, you got it. All right.
How about that?
Oh, bro, you got it.
How about polar vortexes? And I'm balleting these motherfuckers.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, it was negative.
Well, like, what
I want to say it was negative 20.
Okay.
With
what in negative April?
40 wind chill.
Oh. In April? No. He was saying in winter.
In general. This is in general. I'm like,
Jesus Christ.
So part of the reason why I ended up like officially moving out of Chicago, I was like, I always like had a car and didn't have a car at the same time. So like I totaled one of my cars and then I was renting for a while because I was doing this Uber thing where you can rent and, you know, do Uber.
Which is ass backwards. Please, you know, future viewers, don't do that shit.
So I was in and out of a car. And I was also in and out of a job that was like, you know, playing with my emotions.
Yeah.
So what really, I had a place and I was actually, you know, doing, I was pretty stable for, you know, after graduation and had a roommate, you know, I had a circle of friends that, you know, I could, you know, call on and everything. Shit hit the fan after, one, my job put me on furlough for the second time, and the second time they didn't necessarily like pay me, so I was just like, oh,
the
okay.
Fuck? Yeah. Wait, what?
The pandemic, I was getting paid, you know, like all the furlough and the PUA, and I was getting extra. You know, I was getting.
Bro, first of all, I'm jealous. All right, because through the whole COVID, I caught COVID like twice, and they didn't give me anything. I was out of month. Wait, I was out of work for a whole month.
Bro, I was out of work for a year. So
shout out the furlough.
They better pay y'all. They better pay my ass. I'm just like, shit.
Shout out to that whole furlough.
You know what? I'm thankful for that year, but how they treated me after that year was total bullshit.
Okay.
So I'm not gonna. I guess this is a very how would I say, politically incorrect podcast. So I'm gonna say what I have to say right now.
Yeah, go ahead. Do your thing.
But I wasn't vaccinated. And my job decided to charge me $100 a month for not being vaccinated.
How the fuck? Oh, god damn, that's so slimy.
I'm not making this up, y'all.
Oh, my
God. I'm not making this up, y'all.
That's slimy as fuck.
Never had COVID.
What?
Not once. Never had COVID. So, transferred that job out here, the same exact job. Me thinking it's Atlanta, they don't give a fuck about COVID.
They do.
They did, but it's like you go to the club, nobody's wearing a mask. Nobody's doing shit. And I'm still getting charged. So I'm just like, that put in my back of my head. I'm just like, oh, okay, I need, like, although I got a good, stable job, I need to look for something quick. Yeah. I need to get the fuck up out of here. So that was my first thought when I first got here. So, I love telling the story. I love telling the story because this will help people who are kind of on the fence of quitting their job. Okay. So, mind you, I'm about to go to Imagine in 2 weeks. Yeah, the 10th is when I go to Imagine. Imagine Music Festival. If nobody knows what that is. It's a big music festival. Oh, you're about to ask. It's a big music festival in Atlanta. It's not big as in, like, you know, comparison to the other music festivals.
Like One Fest or something like that. Yeah.
Or like Coachella. It's probably like a miniature size Coachella. So
that's still good though.
It's still good, but it's very EDM based as well. It's like it's
like a niche, niche crowd.
Honestly, it's a niche, but I promise you, anybody can go there and have a fucking blast. I don't give a fuck what nobody say. Like, you go to a festival, you're gonna enjoy yourself. So went to this festival.
Y'all might see me there.
I called off as well. I called off of work. And they didn't honor my call off from work. So guess what I did? I did not say shit. So that Sunday, I was supposed to go to work. And I was like, I could actually let them know that, you know, I'm not going to be able to make it. Or I could just say, fuck this shit. And for as many DRUGSs I was on at that moment, I did say fuck that shit. So
you ain't had to spell it. You could have just been like, I was on them Herkies.
Sykes. I was on them Sykes, cuz.
Off the Zoinkies.
Hey, you know what the code word for in the EDM community for like drugs is? Pre-workout.
Wow.
We call it pre-workout. Yeah, because like it's a way to like not get demonetized if you have like a certain, you know.
Yeah, if so you we're say definitely talking gonna, about yeah, certain pre-workout. Things, but
yeah,
we're not monetized yet.
Well, y'all get there.
We're going to pre-workout after this.
I'm praying that SSL will get monetized.
Oh, we're getting monetized. Yeah, dude. We're up. We're about to be up for real. Just wait on it.
Yeah, yeah. To make a long story short, they call me. I'm like not answering the phone at all. They call me on Monday, like when I get back from the festival.
Yeah.
I'm just like, do I want to answer the phone? Because they've been treating me like shit since the moment I got there.
And I can understand why you wouldn't want to pick up the phone.
So I'm just like, I finally answer the phone, but it's not from my general manager. It's actually from somebody that was like a homie that happened to work there. Oh, so I was like, what's up, fam? He's like, can you come in? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I'm like, you know what? Just because you said it, I'm going to come in. So they had me come in. They were like, you know, we don't have any faith in you or any time, so we might have to let you go, but we'll let you know tomorrow. I'm just like, shit, all right, cuz. I'm shrugging my shoulder. I'm not giving a fuck.
Yeah, right.
Like, really. So I went, bro, like, they fired me the next day. I went back to.
Yeah.
I'm just like. I'm like, you're not going to honor my days off, and you're not going to give me, y'all not going to pay me for my vacation time, so why the fuck am I here?
And they were still charging you for COVID, too. Yeah.
I was like, bro, this is stupid. And like, to all the people that said I was stupid for quitting my job, just understand, look at where I'm at, my nigga.
Facts.
Look at where I'm at, bro. Like, I'm.
Bad. Everything happens for a reason. So. Was that your job in Chicago coming down here and you stay with the same job? Okay.
Yes.
So was this before or after college?
This was directly after college.
Yes, I got that. So first of all, I want to ask, like, do you think that college, if you didn't have college, you would be where you at as far as talent and production and
good,
you know,
question. DJing? So a little backstory. I did get accepted and I went to the University of Florida.
What?
Yes, I did. I was a Gator. Not gonna say. Right hand over left hand, so you know I'm real. Thank you. Okay, I'm sorry.
I don't follow college football.
I'm a Gator too now.
But I quickly found out that was definitely not the school for me. School in general, I just hated.
Yeah, same.
I would say just the traditional route of school, I hate it, because I personally, like, mind you, University of Florida is not an easy school to any, by any means necessary. However, even as advanced as that school was, I was not getting the direction that I wasn't getting the proper instruction that I needed for my career.
Right.
So they put me as exploratory, and I was literally in the exact same classes that I took when I was in high school.
So you was learning like math and stuff like that?
Yeah, it was like math, language arts, regular shit, history.
But I know with colleges, or at least with certain colleges, those are still a part of the core curriculum. Yeah. So it's like that's something that is you can't dodge no matter how much you want to.
I
couldn't dodge it,
but the problem was I was making beats when I was supposed to be in class. Because I was bored. And I'm like, I also wasn't doing any extracurricular activities, so it was nothing motivating me to be there at all.
So what made you take that extra step to just say, you know what, fuck it, I'm gonna actually stay through, see it through, and graduate?
So, I had the distraction of women in my life at that point, and it was probably the worst distraction at the time.
That's all.
So I would, I would put that as
that's an experimental stage
issue. I would say that's the main issue, is, and I would love to touch on that later on in the interview.
Oh yeah, after that, we that was the main issue.
On the contrary, I stopped caring about it, actually. I just stopped caring about school in general. And it wasn't like, didn't come overnight, bro. Like, that shit came like, I would say midway through my second semester. And so like, I felt like I was just floating through college at that point. I was just like, okay, I'm passing all of my classes. I may have failed one, but at least I'm, you know, I'm not kicked out until I actually got kicked out.
Oh, wow. Wait. Now, what led you to getting kicked out?
Oh, I didn't get, as far as like getting kicked out, I basically lost my scholarship.
Oh.
So, yeah, I actually, I didn't get a full ride, but I got like, I think I got like 45%.
Oh, so they basically gave you the car. They said you just got to, like, keep up with the gas in it.
So, like, I couldn't keep my scholarship. I had flunked out at my summer semester trying to get back into my situation. And I was, at that point, I'm just like, you know, I can always come back to the University of Florida.
Yeah, facts.
Never came back. Because I just realized, like, this is not even the route for me. So, that was just, that's honestly how I just left it at that. And, like, went about my music career comfortably, very uncomfortably.
So then you, you said, I think you said you went to technical college. You went to,
yes. Shout out to SAE Institute, School of Audio Engineering. If anybody doesn't know what that stands for.
I've seen a few things about the technical college, especially like the studios and stuff like that. They, high end equipment.
Not all technical colleges are made the same.
Okay.
Say that.
So they didn't have that shit.
Because I'm not going to shit on another technical college, but Full Sail. I'm not. It's just nobody should be paying six figures.
Yeah.
For a college.
Agreed.
I'm just being honest. And then like, I actually went to Full Sail for a month, and I absolutely hated the professor, because I just felt like you're not even listening to what I'm saying. So yeah, that was what I. That was before I went to SAE. Went to SAE, my life changed. I would say that. Mainly because it was, all my life I had been learning how to make beats.
Mm-hmm.
Never have I ever learned how to engineer somebody.
Right.
And so like they taught me the basics of how to engineer somebody, how to have an artist in your studio, mm-hmm. how to have a studio. That's a part of the package, is, you know what I'm saying? You get a computer, you get like, I forget the keyboard, you get some keyboard.
So the curriculum was different though.
The curriculum was very hands on.
Okay.
It's very hands on. And, the one thing I appreciated so much was that we had one gen ed class per semester. Everything else was course.
Really. Could you explain what that means for anybody?
So gen ed as in like math, science, social studies. Physics.
So gen ed is general education.
General education. Okay. The other four classes were directly towards our major. So it was either signal flow, live sound, studio etiquette, or something along with business. You know what I'm saying? So
something they gave. Actually
yeah. Something that actually was going to make us money.
So with that being said, do you think that being in specifically SAE did help you with your career?
I would definitely say SAE helped me out like a mug, because you know, right now you can learn everything on YouTube. This YouTube University is a thing. You can also learn everything on lynda.com. I learned a lot of shit on Lynda. That's a little hack that people probably don't even know about.
What's lynda.com?
Lynda.com is like an instruction. It's like YouTube tutorials on steroids for like anything technology related. So you got like Photoshop or
I'm definitely gonna look it up.
Yes, Lynda. Yeah. It's spelled LYD.
Definitely gonna look that up.
Check that out. Lynda.com. That was one hack that I used that helped me out. But I didn't use that for music production. I kind of used that for like Photoshop or like After Effects if I wanted to edit in my videos. That was just something, because you know, somebody like me, I can't necessarily learn a program from a tutorial unless I'm looking for something specific.
Yeah, I feel that. You need that hands-on experience. Yeah. You need somebody to actually like show you the ropes about that.
Or just like, if you already know a program, the thing that I would search on YouTube is like how to make an 808. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's just like something that I would use for Lynda or, you know, YouTube or something.
So in your opinion, since you know, Nah, you good. Since you actually have the knowledge on it, what's your opinion? Well, what's the difference between producing and engineering, in your opinion?
Oh, that's a good question. I never really. So producing is literally creating music from scratch. So if you have an idea in your head, or you have something that's or even a sample, I think that's still producing. Like, honestly, hip hop. Damn, it's raining. Hip hop came from sampling records or old records. So, anything that you are able to create from your own essence or your own abilities, even if you borrow like a musician from over here or a drummer from over there, you're technically a producer. You know what I'm saying? Hmm. The biggest, I would love to say this because I always say this. One of the most pronounced producers that doesn't play a single instrument, Rick Rubin. If y'all don't know who Rick Rubin is,
yeah, I know.
Yeah, you know who Rick Rubin is, yeah. But he don't play a single instrument. Yes, he don't play shit. He don't even program shit.
Wait, isn't Rick Rubin the same dude that was on the Idol?
He's a white guy with a bunch of long hair.
Yeah, yeah, he had that big ass bong.
Rick Rubin is basically my hero. So he is the master of bringing the right people in the right room. Yeah, so he can get the drummer, he can get Jay-Z, he can get
he's like a master composer.
Basically, but without composing, without knowing any musical theory knowledge.
You know, actually, with us watching The Idol, we actually was able to get just a small insight on his style, on how he actually... oh my God. He walked into each room and just clapped one time, and he could tell how the acoustics were in there.
That was Mike Dean.
Yeah. Mike Dean is still a GOAT. Mm-hmm. Yeah, shout out to The Weeknd. The weeknight.
So throughout your time DJing and like producing and engineering, like you've been doing it for a long time, what can you say has changed about these, you know, about the style and about the influence on these, you know, music genres or whatever you want to call it?
Oh, I love talking about this. I would say the trendy situational like styles of hip hop is never going away.
Mm-hmm.
That's not. It's like you got. I remember when I first got into production, Drake was on Top of the World. And the thing to do was, I remember back then was like, it was heavy on the 808s. It didn't necessarily have to be tuned. You just had to have an 808.
Yeah, facts. Facts. Oh my God.
Shout out to like, oh, dang, a bunch of.
Yeah. Facts, bro.
Mike Will made it.
Young Chop back in the day. Mustard on the beat got the same beat.
Nah, for real. Like, there was just I come from like, what was Drake's first album? Like that whole Take Care.
He had an album before that.
Yeah,
I forgot.
Wayne's mixtape era.
Was it Homecoming? No, I don't know.
Was it before Forever came out?
I think so. He had an album.
Forever, I ain't never. None of this. That era.
Yeah, like 2009, 2010.
That's literally
when
I got started in music production.
This was like after Degrassi.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
This was like, that's literally when I got started in music production. So, like, I would say Just Blaze. I don't know if you know.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my God.
Of course.
Yeah. Just Blaze is goated.
Yes,
by the way.
Yes.
Just Blaze, Ninth Wonder, Pharrell.
Facts. Skateboard P. Shout out to that boy.
Daft Punk. There's so many.
I think that's you.
That's me. I don't give a fuck. Ain't nobody. But I say I just had so many influences when I first started. And what was crazy. Wait, what was the question? What was that?
I was saying, what have you noticed like that has changed in the
perfect,
style?
Perfect. Yes. So what really changed was how easy it is to do shit. And mind you, back when I first started, sampling was like one of the hardest things to do.
Oh, like, damn.
Yes, I could see it. God and showing out today.
My bad, dog.
Nah, for real, like, yeah, so I say what really changed was just how easy it was, how easy it is to just make shit. I would say, like, I say this because this is a very controversial topic. Music was a highly valued back then. It was way more valuable, mainly because you had to buy it.
Facts.
And streaming wasn't a
thing. It wasn't as accessible as it is nowadays.
So, yeah. Like, there was songs that I would hear only at school because, like, there was only that one guy that had that song.
Facts.
Or, like, you know, or you would watch MTV and the song would come up and then the video would come up and all that. Yeah,
videos were definitely that important was like back in the days.
Or even just, like...
Facts.
I would say now, like, I used to look forward to album drops. I used to look forward to, like, damn, what's the track list looking like? What's that song name? Who's on the credits?
It's like now when that album drops, you can actually look at the credits. You can look at what songs are going to be on the album now. So that's more accessible. Like, I'm just saying, just looking at what we have now compared to back then.
It's definitely easier to access certain shit. But because it's so easy to access certain shit, humans in general have become lazy with finding music or just lazy with consuming it. You know what I'm saying? Like, because at the end of the day, it's like, this is a very, and it's not even a very controversial topic. This is a topic that needs to be had. Artists are making dirt shit money off of streams right now.
Yeah,
like,
facts.
One stream is not going to get you shit, but one sale of your album $10.
But even then, one stream, that doesn't amount to shit.
Like 0.00004 cents.
Yes, like you have to have at least 20,000 streams to at least see something.
Right, and I would say that is the main difference in how music is being made, because now you're making music for the algorithm.
Yeah,
you're not making music for the album no more.
So when it comes down to you noticing the differences when it comes down to music nowadays, how does that help you, or how do you take that into account when it comes down to your creative process?
Oh, it's shitty. I'm gonna be honest, because it's like, I remember when I first wanted to put some music out, I worked on it for months, and like, I was so excited to put it out on a stream, you know, and people heard it. People were like, yeah, I got such good reviews.
Most definitely.
And I got $0 for it.
Ooh.
And I was just like, you know, I'm just like, I was scratching my head and I was like, there was nothing wrong with the marketing, like nothing wrong with like how many people were on it. Cause like I had a good amount of people that were they were waiting for an Xavier album. They were waiting for that. And so like,
can I ask a question? But what kind of album was it?
I did a hip hop album, but it was very future bass and EDM influence.
Oh, okay.
So it was like, oh yeah, yeah. You can actually stream it now. It's still on Apple Music, Spotify.
Definitely will do that.
Plug, I got two albums out right now. I got two albums out right now. And one of them is called Life's a Trip, not to piggyback off of Trippy Red, but Life's a Trip is my album.
Album named Life's a Trip or something?
Knows about it.
Oh, wow.
of course, Trippy Red has an album called Life's a Trip. And I also have another album, and honestly, I don't even remember what it's called because it's been so long. But it's out.
Do you think like artists have gotten kind of more lazy? I mean, we're gonna get back on track too, like, because we talk about the consumer getting lazy, which I agree with.
Yes.
We've got complacent with the access we have to information now.
Yes.
But also it seems like the artists have become more lazy and kind of creating the most, you know, the going with the path of least resistance type of thing.
Well, here's also like the thing. Something I learned in school was the formula to making a hit song. Like there's an actual formula, you know what I'm saying? So like there's intro, there's verse, there's bridge, there's all these other elements that make up a hit song, like specifically, and nobody's following that. No, like nobody. All your independent artists, all your, even your mainstream artists aren't necessarily following the formula of a hit song. And then on top of that, you have, you have the lazy consumers who are literally just going to consume like whoever is in their repertoire.
Right.
Or whoever like is related to them the most. Mm-hmm. So I personally think that the reason why artists are getting lazy is because they're spoiled. I think that's one thing for sure. That's the main reason. Artists are spoiled because how do I explain it? The popular artists are getting rewarded for shitty music.
Right, yeah. Okay.
So if you get the popular artists getting rewarded for shitty music, and then like, oh, this is a good topic. I've read this on Billboard. Oh, was it? I don't think it was on Billboard. It was some website, some YouTube, something like that. But there hasn't been a number one hip hop
song
in this year. It has, but it's just recent. It's been. I think Gunna had a number one album.
About, yeah.
I think. Gunna had a number one album, but
yeah, Gunna and Uzi supposedly supposed to be projected for that.
But it's August, it's September, dog.
Yeah,
September, dog.
Yeah,
when like 2023 was nine.
Honestly, in my opinion, one of the best albums that came out this year was Amar by Big X the Plug. That has a lot of replay value, and plus the deluxe version.
Phenomenal.
Okay. I'm telling you. And one, he's going to be one of the next big artists that comes out of Texas. I promise you. Give it about another year, a year or so, he's going to be a household name. I promise you. Like that's just in my opinion. That's just my opinion. I mean, you know, like come and fuck
up. No, that's good. I need to know about this.
I'm just saying. So in your opinion, what state is making the most noise when it comes down to music?
Ooh. Right now is I wouldn't say making the most noise, but I kind of have a favorite right now.
All
right. And like, you know, mind you, like I'm from Chicago and I lived in Atlanta. I've also lived in Florida, so it's just none of these. But Memphis is kind of killing it right now. Comes out of that city is so fucking crisp. I'm like, I sample Memphis rappers all the time.
You know what? Damn, I ain't even think about that shit. Okay.
Big Boogie or something? Like, isn't he from Memphis or something? I don't know.
Are you talking about Big Boochie Grape?
I don't know. It's like, I don't know who that is. Who is that?
He was affiliated with Dolph, RIP Dolph.
Okay, Dolph. Yeah, RIP Dolph. Yo.
But shit, but you got what? Big 30, Pusheisty,
yeah.
Your Black Youngster. Fucking like, Yo Gotti, hey, Moneybag. What's
his name? Black Youngster is funny as fuck, bro. I don't give a fuck.
Oh, yeah. Most definitely. Look, we got a homeboy that looked like that boy.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely RIP to Black Youngster's brother. Hey. Like, we did find out earlier in the news that he was slain, you know, taken down way too soon. Who would be your favorite artist out of Memphis right now?
Unfortunately.
I just gave you a whole list.
Rest in peace, Young Dolph. That's fine. Is Key Glock from
Yes.
Okay, Key Glock killing it right now, yo.
He really is.
He been going hard. Like, and I'm a EDM artist, and his music just hit differently when I mix that shit.
Because he got that certain, like, that bounce.
Yeah. I'm just like, bro, he rapping slow, but I fuck with it. You know?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. So, what would be some of the genres that you feel wouldn't mix well with EDM, in your opinion?
Yodeling.
Okay, I can respect that.
Yo, it's hard because
you know what? Yodeling might go hard though. You should try it.
I might just try that shit. Like
that shit can go hard though.
Hey, bro.
Throw some clogs on them motherfucking lights.
Cause it's like EDM is such an umbrella term. And I say that because you can literally mix anything with it.
What about Kinsey Yetta music?
I mean, huh? Wait, what? Wait, repeat that por favor.
Say, what about Kinsey Yetta music?
That shit still work, bro. I best believe.
You gotta think, hey man, you gotta be on some battle rap shit. You gotta be different.
Hey dog. I'd say the only music that probably won't work is like is this a genre, but like nah.
Country?
I can't even say that, bro. I cannot say that because you got your Lil Nas X.
But that's like country hip hop. Country pop. Facts. Yeah. Because he's not even rapping, really. He's like flowing on the beat.
But it was only Old Town Road that was like that,
too. That was literally the only song he had in country.
And then he had Billy Ray Cyrus.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, but all right. Because like the EDM scene is so diverse, you really can't. You can throw anything. And people will be like, yo, did you really just play that shit? Dude, oh my God. Well, I'm sorry. Not to mimic white people. I'm just like. But like, dead ass, like, there's been shit that I've just played. I'm like, let me see if this will work. But okay. Oh, okay. Boom. This is perfect. R&B doesn't necessarily mix well with certain EDM clubs.
Now that, and this is what I say.
This is why I say that.
I can understand that.
When you at a heavy bass event, or like anything dealing with rock or anything dealing with that side of music, the last thing they want to hear is Usher. The last thing they want to hear is Drake
or Tank
or you know, Chris Brown. That's the last, like, I promise you, they will look at you crazy. So, and it's also like,
which one of y'all want to go with Trigger?
Yeah.
Hell no. Which one of y'all?
Nah, like it's the metal community as well as the rhythm community are very niche communities, and if they don't, they're like hip hop fans. If you don't play what they want, then it's like, yo.
So do you feel
fuck off the stage type shit?
So do you feel more so old school hip hop meshes better with the EDM and rhythm?
You know what's like, problem with spectrum? Old school hip hop?
What?
People don't know it. And that'd be pissing me off.
I blame Gen Z. Like I generally blame Gen Z. We're millennials, okay? Technically,
you know, we made it past. Also, like, okay, so we as a millennial, I loved 90s music.
Facts.
I can't see a Gen Z liking 2000s music.
Well, I honestly would say,
yeah, I'm serious. Nah,
I would say. It's just like, all right, it's just like us. Like, did you grow up around like a lot of adults? Yeah. Or did you have to grow up early? Like, so when you have to, okay, yeah, if you have to grow up early-ish or just grow up early or have to be around a lot of adults majority right. while you're a kid, you're going to obviously pick up some old school ways. You're going to you're going to grow up as an old soul. So you're going to be able to appreciate the old school music way more than anybody else who actually had like either a silver spoon or really just grew up around kids and had like a regular childhood.
Or something like that. Yeah, young
parent. Facts. So it's like let's say, I'm trying to think of like a like Smokey Robinson. Would that be that's not something. That's something. Honestly, you could mix that. I could hear it.
I know.
I could hear that. Yeah.
You know, sound. Okay, so that's something that I would like to touch on a little bit as well. Sound wise, when it comes to old school music, mixes really well with EDM.
You got to think about it. When it comes down to hip hop or just music in general, you take an old school sample and you slap that shit on there and you tweak it right, it's always going to be a crowd favorite.